Ms. Malone v. Commonwealth, Ms. Dalton, and Ms. Campbell. Are you both signed in?
Yes.
I've signed it now.
And Ms. Dalton, if you'll just wait a few minutes for the to clear out and the door to close. Whenever you're ready, Ms. Dalton.
If I could preserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, please. May it please the court, on behalf of Wade Malone, our argument is that Malone's motion to suppress should have been granted because Officer Caesar did not have probable cause to arrest him, which ultimately resulted in the search incident to arrest. There's not probable cause to arrest because Officer Caesar had no reasonable basis to conclude that Malone was not a guest of the motel, merely assumed that Malone was on the premises in violation of the no trespassing signs. Officer Caesar did not know Malone. He did not have any reason to believe that Malone was banned from the hotel.
Did he have probable cause to believe he was trespassing at Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No.
Why not?
My argument to that would be that it's not trespassing if you're only going there because you're chased by someone. That it was not. Well, it was not. It wouldn't be a willful trespass.
If I understand the record, your client began running not because he was of the police. He just began running in the direction of the KFC for some other reason, according to his testimony.
I think in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, Malone began running when the ununiformed police officers approached the group, although it was not entirely clear whether Malone was part of the original group or if he was already running when this melee happened.
You agree he had no legal claim of right to be on the KFC property?
Sure. Officer Caesar definitely did not make any inquiry of anyone as to whether Malone had a room, was a guest of someone who had a room at the motel, whether he was otherwise permitted to be at the motel prior to arresting Malone. And a bit of a follow-up, I think Officer Caesar is very clear that what he arrested Malone for was trespassing at the Richmond Inn and Suites, not at the KFC.
But isn't it an objective standard? Don't we evaluate probable cause not based on his subjective intent, but objectively?
And although Officer Caesar may have had reasonable articulable suspicion to detain Malone to investigate whether he was trespassing, Officer Caesar did not have probable cause to arrest him. With respect, the most analogous case I would suggest is Jones v. Commonwealth, 18 VA App 229, 1984 from this court, where this court held that the evidence did not establish probable cause for the appellant's arrest for trespass, and thus the evidence obtained during the search as a result of the unlawful arrest should have been suppressed. In Jones, the area was also a high-crime, high-drug area in the city of Richmond. No trespassing signs were also visibly posted, and the appellant also ran when approached by the officer. And this court specifically held that the no trespassing signs and Jones's flight from the officer did not establish probable cause to arrest for trespassing. The fact that it was late at night at this case, unlike in Jones, does not support a finding of probable cause because the motel has overnight guests and was not closed for business. And likewise, the fact that in both cases the officers were ununiformed, but in this case the officer wore a police vest, does not suggest that Malone ran because he was trespassing.
Counsel, light most favorable to the Commonwealth, was the police vest visible and basically tantamount to a uniform?
I would suggest it's definitely not tantamount to a uniform.
But the evidence is it was visible.
Yes, it was not, I guess, covered by anything. I don't think even in light most favorable to the Commonwealth it would be a fair inference that Malone saw it. And additionally, I would point out that the officers did not announce themselves as police as they approached. And that would be the distinguishing fact between Jones, the case that Malone relies on, and James, the case that the Commonwealth relies on, because Jones distinguished the James case on the basis that the officers in James announced themselves as law enforcement as they approached, whereas in Jones, and in this case, there's no evidence that the officer identified themselves when approached. As to the issue of inevitable discovery, our argument is that inevitable discovery does not apply here because the police were not pursuing in an alternative line of investigation at the time of the police misconduct. And the police misconduct in this case was Officer Caesar arresting Malone without probable cause. That's an unlawful arrest. In Walls v. Commonwealth...
Was there reasonable suspicion to stop for the trespass, to investigate the trespass?
I would say that there probably was.
Okay.
With
that and then flight, is there reasonable suspicion at that point once the flight has stopped?
Not under the holding in Jones. I think that in Jones, the court specifically held that the flight did not establish the circumstances which may have been a basis to detain, to investigate a trespass, in addition to Jones's flight, still did not arise to level probable cause.
You can see that Jones did not involve flight from a hotel to another establishment that wasn't a hotel that was posted no trespassing.
No, I think Jones was a flight from an apartment building. I'm not exactly sure where Jones ended up.
From an overnight dwelling place to someplace else where it's clearly not an overnight dwelling place that is also posted no trespass.
Sure. And with respect to the inevitable discovery, the police did not have the leads and were not pursuing any alternative line of investigation. The Walls case held that in order for evidence to be admitted under the inevitable discovery exception to the exclusionary rule, the Commonwealth must show three things. First, the reasonable probability that the evidence in question would have been discovered by lawful means but for the police misconduct. Two, that the leads making the discovery inevitable were possessed by the police at the time of misconduct. And three, that the police prior to misconduct were actively pursuing the alternative line of investigation. An officer there specifically testified that he had already arrested Malone for trespassing at the Richmond Inn and Suites before he ran Malone's information through dispatch and discovered the outstanding warrants.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, Lauren Campbell on behalf of the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is asking this court to affirm the trial court's denial of the motion to suppress for a number of reasons. First, the officer had a reasonable articular suspicion to stop the defendant in order to investigate whether or not he was trespassing. Second, through the course of the incident and the interaction, the totality of the circumstances established that the officer had probable cause to arrest him for trespass. And finally, whether or not, regardless if the officer did not have probable cause to arrest for the trespass, the information was available to him in order to detain the defendant based on his reasonable suspicion, and to investigate that suspicion would have led to him running the defendant's information and discovering the outstanding warrants, and then the search incident to arrest, which discovered the gun. Turning to the first point, reasonable suspicion. The trial court found that the detention was lawful based on reasonable suspicion at the very least. And at the very least, the officer did have reasonable suspicion based on him, the no trespassing signs at the hotel, testifying that it was a high crime activity. A murder had taken place just the week before, which is why the officers were patrolling for trespassers. The defendant's presence there, his flight from officers that had identifiable police in big letters written across the front of their chests, and engaging in a physical struggle with the officer once he was apprehended across the street at the KFC.
Counsel, does it make a difference that this is a parking lot at a motel, which is generally open to the public?
I don't think that it makes a difference that this is a parking lot at a motel where clearly there was a lot of the pictures in the record show that all over the parking lot and the motel were no trespassing signs. It's still private property of the motels.
Okay.
Based on the objective standard, the officer had reasonable belief that to detain Malone in order to identify him.
Would that allow anybody walking across that parking lot to be detained to investigate no trespassing?
Well, I think anyone walking across that parking lot, an officer could have talk to someone just like any other person could stop and say, hey.
Well, that's a consensual encounter, and it's quite clear
we
don't have one of those here.
Correct, Your Honor, which is the difference here in that when the officers went to approach the group, they fled.
Well, and counsel, I don't think you meant to say walking across a park, or I hope you didn't mean to say walking across a parking lot versus standing in a parking lot. isn't there a difference between somebody walking through a parking lot versus somebody standing in a group in the parking lot?
Yes, Your Honor. I think there's lots of different factual differences based on what the hypothetical may be. But yes, in this case, there was the standing and then there was the flight before the officer could even approach and ask any general consensual or Terry-type stop investigative questioning. And so based on this case, the officer did have that based on the totality of the circumstances, which then leads to the second part of the probable cause. The trial court also found, based on all the reasonable inferences from the evidence and the testimony, indicated that Malone was trespassing at the motel. Those include the circumstances I've already discussed, that he was in a high-crime area, visibly posted, very late at night, fled from the officers, and then engaged in the physical struggle.
Did the officer have probable cause to believe prior to apprehension that Mr. Malone was trespassing at the KFC?
Yes, Your Honor. I think objectively the officer could believe because the testimony indicated that the KFC was closed. It's, again, private property. When he was fleeing through it, that he was trespassing there.
And it was posted as well.
It was posted as well. And then, so the Commonwealth would argue that the officer then did have probable cause to arrest Malone at that time for trespassing, and would argue that the facts in this case are more similar to James v. Commonwealth than the Jones case, because that the officers were readily identifiable. It was late at night in a dark area.
What about the challenge to the readily identifiable nature of the officers? Yeah, I mean, even in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, they didn't orally identify themselves, and they weren't in uniform, and what you have is nighttime and a vest that says police on it.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the trial court made some findings about specific, and I would have to look exactly what the page numbers were, about how they had seen the vest before, and the trial court knew that they were very easily to read their big letters right across the front of the vest. And based on that and the defendant fleeing, and then when the officer apprehended him and was trying to cuff him, at that point he obviously knew he was a police officer trying to cuff him, and he was still struggling, and there was some force had to be used in order to put him in handcuffs. I think that would help explain that this case was more like James and that these officers were more readily identifiable. And then finally, turning to the third point, even if this court were to find that the officer did not have probable cause to arrest for the trespassing, the detention of Malone was lawful based on the officer's reasonable suspicion to stop and detain him in order to investigate whether or not he was trespassing. The testimony was that he cuffed the defendant and then brought him back to where the other officers were and ran his information. He testified that was normal procedure whenever they were investigating a possible trespass. And when they ran his information, that is when the outstanding arrest warrants were discovered, and that is when they conducted a search incident to arrest on those warrants. Therefore, the Commonwealth argues that all the leads up to that were known to the officer prior to any possible misconduct, and therefore there was no illegal detention, and the gun would have been found regardless of the probable cause for the trespass. And if there are no further questions, the Commonwealth would just ask that you affirm the trial court's ruling.
Thank you. Ms. Dalton, do you have any rebuttal?
Just briefly, just to clarify with respect to the Commonwealth argument, the issue is that the officer arrested Malone and he didn't detain him. Had the officer detained Malone, we'd be in very different circumstances. And additionally, with respect to the KFC trespassing issue, our argument would be that it would not be a willful trespass because it's unclear that Malone even knows that the person chasing him is a police officer until at some point during the physical struggle, become clear.
Doesn't that go to whether a prosecution ultimately would be successful and not to whether the officer has probable cause to believe he's trespassing at the KFC?
I understand the court's point, but I would say no if the officer knows the only reason Malone is running there is because the officer is chasing him. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. We're going to come down.